Góðan daginn. You're listening to the Reykjavík Grapevine.
Iceland's foremost English publication on Icelandic news, culture, travel and more.
Welcome to Covidcast. My name is Valur Grettisson. I'm editor in chief at Reykjavík Grapevine. And with me is Poppy Askham again. Hello.
Hello.
Glad to see you. It's nice
yeah,
to meet
likewise.
You. it's a lovely day in Iceland right now. It's like the days are getting way longer than before. It's like the sun is probably setting. It's like it's quite late. And we have snow and sun at the same time. It's a lovely weather, basically. And although we had a storm this weekend, and it was a pretty bad one, but it's going to be much warmer next few days. So we're going to get the same heat as you are. Not the same heat, but the same weather. It's going to be nice as like in the UK. I mean,
yeah, feels like summer over here.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
People are going to freak out and want to go out and do something.
Carnage.
Yeah, exactly. But a lot of things have changed since yesterday. Of course, there are still 6 that have died from the COVID-19. So we're still in the same numbers. But we got new numbers today that confirmed cases of COVID-19 are now 24 more, which is much lower than we have seen before. So this is a good start this week, and perhaps because the gathering ban has now been for what three weeks, I think it's obviously showing that it's working, I guess. So the total number of COVID-19 confirmed cases in Iceland are 1,586. And yesterday, the numbers for today, these 24 confirmed cases, are from 235 samples that our main hospital, Landspítalinn, took. And then the 877 samples that Decode Genetics examined. And we actually have a fantastic interview with Kári Stefánsson, which you wrote, Poppy Askham.
Indeed, yeah. No, very interesting guy.
It's in our newest PDF, which is now available for all our readers. It was only first 2 days, it was only for our High Five Club members. So please read that. It's incredibly interesting. We have of those samples that we took, 71% of them were already in quarantine. So that's pretty good. But the numbers when it comes to the hospital are quite serious. We have 39 people in the hospital, thereof 13 intensive care. So keep in mind, of course, Iceland is so much smaller than other countries. So 39 is a lot. We only have slightly over 50 ventilators. So it can't get much worse. It's probably the same situation as everywhere, but it doesn't look good when it comes to the hospital. And the health directory said yesterday that they think that more people are going to die. So we haven't seen the top of this. But also interesting, because the help of Decode, of course, and our amazing healthcare workers, they have taken 29,000 samples from Icelanders. That is slightly under 10% of the whole nation, which is just absolutely batshit crazy. It's 6 or 7 million, I guess, in the UK. And it's just ridiculously high numbers. So,
yeah, and in the Westfjords, they've tested 45% of everyone in the Westfjords, and they've tested 2,000 people.
Yeah, wow.
Which is just absolutely amazing that one region can have that high level. They said that if you had the same rate of testing in the Westfjords as the whole of Iceland, that would be 170,000 people.
Mm-hmm. So, we have, all in all, we have 4,400 people in quarantine right now, and also 13,500 have finished their quarantine. And overall, we have 559 that have recovered from the virus. So it looks better, definitely, because of this lowering numbers, and it feels like we are let's be optimistic, I guess. It feels like it. But this isn't quite over. We have 26 cruise ships that have cancelled visiting Iceland. Iceland has expected 189 ships to visit the country from March to like September, I guess. So it will be interesting to see how this will go with the cruise ships. But yeah, I would not want to be on a cruise ship in the time of coronavirus. and this is interesting. You wrote about this, right? The threats of violence recently made against are like, they call it the Holy Trinity in Iceland.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
The three, you're going to have to pronounce the names because I really can't.
Yeah, it's Víðir Reynisson, he's the chief of police, Alma Möller, which is the surgeon general, and Þórólfur Guðnason, he's head epidemiologist. You have to pronounce that for me.
Chief epidemiologist. There we go. Between us, we've got it. So yeah, so it's unclear like what exactly the threats were or when they were received, but threats of violence have been made against these three public officials. Mm-hmm. And so Vidir talked about it in the press conference yesterday, and mm-hmm. it sort of looks like someone, how he put it, not politely expressing their sort of criticism. So the police have stepped up the level of protection for all mm-hmm. three of them. Mm. And so they don't seem very flustered by it. Vidir definitely doesn't, but it is quite sobering.
There's a saying in Iceland, just don't be an idiot. And it applies here actually when it comes to like this. Of course, people have very different feelings about this. A lot of criticism about like the closing, why we didn't close the airport sooner. Why we haven't closed the schools? We haven't done that yet. They say that it doesn't have any effect. Like, it doesn't matter that much when it comes to fighting the virus. And there are actually data suggesting that that is true. There was a fine article in Guardian saying this with the research that was around this. So it's like people are very strong-minded, and of course be critical, that's brilliant, and we need that, and journalism and just the public discussion needs that. But it's, if you're going to be rude about it, then you're kind of like out of the game, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, threats of violence is taking it a bit far, quite a lot far.
Also, like, why? Like, what are you going to do? Like, beat up a doctor? Like, why?
Yeah, you know, a deadly virus isn't enough. We have to have... vigilante.
So, also, like, we have the Ministry of Foreign Affairs have expressed uncertainty about the availability of flights to Iceland after April 15th. Could you tell us about this a little bit?
Last week, there was a deal, a deal struck between Iceland Air and the government. So the government's giving them a loan of, I think, 100 million ISK. Mm-hmm. In return, Iceland Air is going to run flights, at least six a week, to Stockholm, London, and to Stockholm, London, and Boston and back. So mm-hmm. it's sort of repatriation flights for Icelanders abroad. But in a statement on the foreign ministry's website, they've said they don't know what's going to happen after April 15th. Mm-hmm. Flights aren't going to cease, so they're not looking at closing the borders completely, but it's very likely we'll see a further drop in flights, which, given there's, you know, max three flights a day arriving in Iceland at the minute, that's mm-hmm. going to be, you know, virtually anything, nothing coming into the country.
Does it mean, like, are they closing it up completely, or is it like, will it be...
It won't be closed completely, like, they're being very uncertain about it all, but it's going to become even harder to come home if you're abroad. So, yeah. The government is saying, come home now, come home mm-hmm. before next Wednesday, mm-hmm. because things are going to get worse in terms of air travel.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, I mean, we know how the situation is when it comes to flights in the whole world. It's like a distant memory now. Just like, do you remember when we were actually flying around, just jetting between countries?
No.
Like, those were the days.
Yeah.
So much have changed. And yeah, right now it's not even a given if you can like have any transportation. But of course, transportation when it comes to like... commodities like food and stuff like this, it's been, you know, there were reported today that it has been like without a hiccup, and we don't need like Icelanders, we have we're in a very good place when it comes to everything, food supplies or whatever. So it's like it's quite safe to say, at least. If I'm wrong, then please do not threaten me with violence. But,
likewise.
Yeah. Also, to the like the grimmer like side effects of this gathering ban, which is domestic violence. This is interesting because Iceland, of course, we have, I mean, we have 1 to 2 murders per year, if that much. Some years go without murders, actually. Not often, though, but we have top, like 1 to 2 murders. But this time we have now 2 women in their 60s, like close to their 60s, that have been, that the police suspected were murdered. In one case, the son of the woman is in detention because he is suspected to have murdered her, stabbed her. And the other woman, she was possibly strangled by her husband, which is now in custody. So this is actually a huge concern in Iceland, and they addressed this a few days ago, last week, very strongly. And they were talking about like that people should be very awake about this and call in if they hear something or see something. And there was a very shocking news in at Visir today. Our readers know Visir pretty well. It's like we often use it. It's like one of the biggest news sites in Iceland. And there was like a man, like a couple, not far away from me, actually, where I live. And they met this woman crying, and there was a man following her, and he was obviously was in a domestic abuse situation, and the man was arrested, of course. So it's like it's getting quite dark and grim. We have, of course, like if you're actually watching this and you know the situation, then our of course first response would be to call the police. They can help women in this situation. They can help them to go to the women's shelter, even drive them if they want. And if you're confused and need some advice, then the Red Cross have a very good helpline called 1717. But how is the situation like in the UK? Are the news of this, like this domestic violence, and is there any focus on it?
I have to say, at the minute, I haven't seen much reporting about domestic violence. I think we're so sort of in the eye of the storm in terms of cases, and there's so much going on with hospitals that it's been. I think in Iceland, we're at a stage where we can still look at things in sort of slow motion, almost in comparison with how it's happening in the UK.
Exactly. Yeah, it has like domestic violence has actually been like a focus point for the police in Reykjavik. This is the largest police,
police force.
Police force in Iceland. And we have had like 2 women now in like past 10 years that have been like 5 or 6 years, sorry. That have been like a commissioner of police in Iceland, and they have focused a lot on this. So this they are trying to change this by like, because like just 15 years ago when I was starting like writing about crimes in media in Iceland, these were, of course, everybody have heard about domestic violence, but you never saw this in court or anything. But now you have much more cases in court where the men are convicted for domestic violence, and so it's a positive thing that we actually are noticing and we're thinking about it, I think. Although we would of course say just take it easy and just do not hit your wife. It's goes without saying.
Yeah,
it's silly to say it. I don't know, but it's not a laughing matter either. But at least the police in Iceland is very aware of it. So if you're in the situation, then they will help you if you call them, and they can get you into safety. And to another thing, and this is fun. It's actually 10 years from the eruption of Eyjafjallajökull. You remember that?
I had to study it at school.
Yeah.
Okay.
You had to study it, really?
Yeah, I had to study it for my GCSEs.
Okay, wow. I didn't know that, but yeah, I was actually working as a journalist at Vísir actually when that happened, and it was like it was a hectic time. Of course, it stopped the air traffic. Then we thought like, oh, it's amazing, like the air traffic has stopped. Now it's like air traffic stopped like for a what, week, I guess, not that much, but yeah, it was quite phenomenal. Also in Iceland, and I also saw it. I climbed actually the highest peak in Iceland called Hvannadalshnjúkur. And I could watch the eruption from like probably like 20, 30 kilometers away, but you could see like everything like coming up, and like in this April weather, you often have like very bright and like very blue mountain skies and very beautiful nature at the same time. So it's a good time to be in Iceland actually, April. It's like, it's beautiful. So I think this is, we covered it for a little. Well, there is one thing, of course. We have Boris Johnson, of course, in what, critical health at...
So, yeah. So on Sunday, he was taken into hospital, which we talked about a bit yesterday. And public was told it was just for tests. It was perfectly fine, mild symptoms. And then in the afternoon yesterday, he was moved into intensive care. So we went from thinking he's fine, mild symptoms, check up, to our prime minister is in intensive care, which is obviously absolutely huge. Like all sympathy to his pregnant partner, to him, like it's really, really quite something.
So how is it, like, is he still like working? Is he like on things? I mean, how is the situation? who is governing basically?
So he's been working from his bed apparently, but you know, he spent the night in intensive care. I don't think you can carry on governing a country from intensive care, even if you're Boris Johnson. Oh. So Dominic Raab, our foreign minister, has stepped in. He's deputizing. Oh.
Okay.
But then the man that, so if Dominic Raab gets ill, then Michael Gove is meant to take over. But now Michael Gove's self-isolating. So and more of the government are self-isolating, or like the health minister has tested positive, I'm pretty sure, at this stage.
Yeah.
So if they're dropping like flies, it's really...
It really reminds you like how... not dangerous, but how far this virus goes. Like, and it's not only in like, I don't know, it's not only on the streets, it's not only with the common people. It's like it goes literally everywhere. And it doesn't really matter who or what you are. It's gonna get you in one way or another. It kind of reminds you like that nothing is like safe right now, and everybody needs to be careful. And of course, like this gathering ban reminds us that, at least when it comes to Iceland, it's, I mean, you were like a week later than we were, I think, a little bit later at least.
Yeah. So when I was first in Iceland, Iceland was dealing with things much more sort of quickly. And then the UK had to sort of catch up and then go way further than Iceland. So it's been slow and steady in Iceland, but very rapid here.
Yeah. You feel like if everybody go with the gathering ban and respect it, then like, it actually works. That's what I'm like, I've been waiting for that like for a while now. And I mean, I'm no scientist, but I'm just been watching the numbers, and I see that they are obviously dropping, and they have been dropping like last week slightly, and then they go up again, then they drop again and stuff like this. And there are sometimes explanations for this and sometimes not. But now like we are like this week should be the week that you can see if this stuff is working or not, these methods, which is like unprecedented, like in our times. So it means that this gathering ban, if everybody respects it, it actually works, and numbers goes down, and you have like hopefully fewer people with the COVID and fewer older people and stuff like this. So it feels like it's a very effective tool that people should really respect.
I think the testings, as well as the gathering ban, I think just the level of testing has got so much to do with why Iceland's very different from the UK. I mean,
that's true.
It's through testing and quarantining, it's so much easier to contain the virus.
But it feels also like that with when it comes to the testing, it works for a while. Like in the beginning, it works to slow the spread down somewhat. But after like now, we have that many with COVID-19 that we do not know how they got there. It's like the third degree contamination, whatever you call it. And therefore, like that after that, testing doesn't really help in the same way.
Hopefully the new app will sort of solve a bit of that mystery. Yeah, that's exactly. A good development.
Yeah, this app, of course, you have it also in the UK, right? I mean,
No, it hasn't been rolled out yet because we're all stuck at home. There's not much point. So Iceland, once again, has beaten us to it, the app.
But I think, with the app, it's even more vital when you're in such a big country like in the UK. Like, if it's easy to track who you're meeting, like in Reykjavik, yeah. But it's absolutely impossible when you're in London.
No, there's no one really knows how many cases there are in the UK. Yeah. The deaths haven't been updated since Sunday, and they're not counting things like nursing home deaths a lot of the time. Yeah. So we have no idea of any of the scale of our problem, really. Whereas in Iceland, it's very easy, like you say, small country, it's very easy. Like the media is keeping track of every single death at this point.
Yeah.
And the government's doing really well updating figures.
Yeah, also I think actually that but the secret factor in all of this, which is not so secret actually, it's the transparency. I think that's the ground for it all. It could never be... You could never do all of the other stuff if there wasn't for transparency, because the government are they are asking people, the mass, to trust them in such a drastic way. And if you want trust, you need to show that you're worthy of the trust, you know. And therefore, with the doctors that have done this daily press conference since the beginning of March, and they always answer all of the questions, no matter how silly they are. We even have a small celebrity journalist, which is just an idiot. He's I was once worked with him, but he's becoming a joke, just to be honest about it. And he, because of the silliness that he's asking, but the beautiful thing is that they always answer. They try to answer every silly stuff that comes and
should you get a tiger?
Yeah, exactly. Like with the tiger. I mean, they've explained this before. What is the, is it likely that a house, a dog or a cat get the infection? No, it happened once. So it's an anomaly, basically. So then they ask the same question, what about the tiger? So what about the dogs and cats? It's the same. Just don't get a tiger. It's just an anomaly. But yeah, it's you can find that story, actually. Sam O'Donnell wrote that for us. I can't say this, that... The master of virus, the doctor.
Epidemiologist.
There you have it. He's becoming very humorous in these meetings, and he basically just told people, whatever you do, just don't get tiger right now. So,
great advice.
Yeah, very, very practical one also. I think this is it. Do you want to add something to it, Poppy?
I think we've been pretty comprehensive in our coverage.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's looking more optimistic.
Yeah.
That's the takeaway.
Definitely. We'll see you again, perhaps not tomorrow. We're actually going for a trip, we're going to, our journalist is going to go and check out Gullfoss and Geysir and these famous touristic places in Iceland, which are absolutely empty right now. And she's going to do a short video for you, which will be our probably next COVID cast. Then, of course, there is Easter going to happen. If you believe in God, then go and celebrate that. If you don't, then just take out the vacation.
Eat some chocolate.
Eat some chocolate, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, thanks for being with us today, and goodbye, and see you later.